Hey, Dr. Taylor Marshall here. Happy Feast Day of St. Patrick. I'm going to share with you today St. Patrick in 9 quick, easy points. I happen to be half Irish. Both of my grandmothers are Irish. My maternal grandmother is green Irish. She's Catholic, or was raised Catholic. And my paternal grandmother is orange Irish. She was raised Protestant, but they're both from the island of Ireland, and that makes me half Irish, and I'm Catholic, so it all works out. So, St. Patrick in 9 points. First of all, Patrick himself was not Irish. He was actually a Roman Briton, and his name, Patricius, is Roman. And in Latin, it means patrician or noble. In fact, St. Augustine of Hippo, his father, that's the husband of St. Monica, was also named Patricius. So it's a common name appearing all the way up in Britain and all the way down south in North Africa. Number 2. St. Patrick wrote an autobiography, the story of his life. It's pretty short. I recommend you looking it up and reading it. It's called The Confession, or in Latin, Confessio. Number 3, St. Patrick was the son of a deacon and the grandson of a priest, and he himself writes in his Confessio, "My father was Calpurnius. He was a deacon. His father was Potitus, a priest, who lived in Banevum Taberniae." Number 4, at age 16, so when teenagers are getting their driver's license, not so with Patrick, he was abducted by Irish pirates, and he was taken to Ireland to serve as a slave until his 22nd year. So for 6 years, he toiled as a slave shepherd in Ireland. And during this time, he cultivated his faith in the Christian God. He had been catechized by his deacon father, perhaps even by his priest grandfather, and he learned about Jesus Christ, he learned about the Trinity, and he spoke of God in this way, quote, "This is the one we acknowledge and adore, one God in a Trinity of the sacred name." So from a young age, he believed in the Trinity. He was a Catholic. At age 22, he heard the voice of God calling him to escape from slavery and to run to the coast. And so he ran to the ocean port, which was 200 miles away. But he obeyed the voice of God and went. Now, number 6 is kind of a weird point, but it's in his autobiography, and I want to share it. When Patrick gets to the port, when he gets to the coast, he finds some sailors in a ship, and they offer him a ride to Britain to escape. But they ask him to suck their breasts. Here's how St. Patrick explains it in his autobiography. "I heard one of them shout at me, 'Come quickly, those men are calling you.' I turned back right away, and they began to call me, 'Come, we'll trust you. Prove you're our friend in any way you wish.' That day, I refused to suck their breasts because of my reverence for God. They were pagans, and I hoped they might come to faith in Jesus Christ. This is how I got to go with them, and we set sail right away." So Patrick refuses to suck the breast. Now, what's going on here? Well, sucking the breast, even of another man, is a sign, it signifies coming under the protection of another. It's like an oath and kind of becoming a servant, coming under the nutrition, the protection of another. And this practice was pretty common in the ancient world. We read about it as far away as North Africa, Ethiopia, Egypt, Turkey, Albania, Armenia, and, of course, Ireland. So kind of weird, kind of perverted. Obviously, St. Patrick refuses to do it because of his reverence for God. He sees it as impure, as immoral. But nevertheless, he's able to join up with these sailors, and he escapes Ireland and goes to Britain. Once he gets back to Britain, he reconnects with his family, and most importantly, he reconnects with the church. And so he goes to continental Europe. This is point number 7. And he studies as a monk, and he becomes a priest at Lorraine's Abbey. And he's consecrated as a Catholic missionary bishop by St. Germanus to go back to the British Isles, in particular to go back to Ireland, because St. Patrick is fluent in the Irish dialect. He lived there for 6 years. Number 8. We all know the legend of St. Patrick driving out all the serpents from the island of Ireland. And this probably isn't the case because post-glacial Ireland never had snakes. Remember, Ireland was scraped by glaciers, and that means there are no snakes there. And so the tradition of Patrick driving out the snakes probably is an allegory, and it refers to driving out the devil or driving out heresy and winning back adherents, most likely of the Pelagian heresy. The British Isles had a problem with the Pelagian heresy because Pelagius was from there. And Pelagius and the Pelagian heresy teaches that we can be saved without grace, without baptism, and without the sacraments. Pelagius taught that all of us are born without original sin. We all receive an immaculate conception. And that all of us are preloaded with everything we need to go to heaven. So we don't need grace. He said we don't need to baptize babies. There's no point in that. All babies have what they need to go to heaven right away. Now, St. Augustine refuted Pelagius, and the Catholic Church sided with Augustine against Pelagius and said that, no, we are saved by grace. True, we have to have faith, hope, charity. We have to obey. We have to do works. We have to conform to grace and work along with God's grace. But it's God's grace that elevates us to heaven. It's God's grace that gives us access to the beatific vision. So St. Patrick was Augustinian. He was anti-Pelagian, and he won back the adherence of Pelagius to the Catholic Church. Now, number 9 is our last point. This is the most controversial point, and it's the theory of the two Patricks. In Irish history, there are references to two Patricks. All right, there's Patrick the Elder, Patrick Sen. He's said to have died in 457. And there's also the record of the death of another Patrick in 493. That's 33 years later. And this last one is called Patricius, the Archapostle of the Scoti. Scoti, or singular Scotus, refers to the Scottish and the Irish altogether. And the annals record that in AD 553, the relics of Patrick were placed 60 years after his death in a shrine by St. Columcille. So this would testify to his death in 493. So it's likely that these two Patricks, the original Patrick most likely, scholars think, is actually St. Palladius, who was also a Catholic missionary, who went to Ireland first and began a Catholic mission there. And then St. Patrick went second, and he's the saint that we celebrate on March 17th. So there's a confusion there. Maybe both were named Patricius. Or maybe the name of Patricius was wrongly applied to the original missionary who was St. Palladius. Either way, St. Palladius, pray for us. St. Patrick, pray for us. There's St. Patrick in 9 months. That's St. Patrick in 9 points. Please share it with your family and with your friends, and have a great St. Patrick's Day. God bless.